Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Richmond. It's 12 noon, and I'm AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. And we've got a top 20 ranked college football program locally, the Cardiac Cavs. Who's talking about UVA football? We are. UVA now up to number 15 in the country. This is your home for the official 804 high school football broadcast game of the week. Big game on 910 The Fan this weekend, Stubb. Do you know about it? Are you hype? Highland Springs?
That's Thursday.
Thursday night, yes. And it will be Hokie Steve and Coach Criswell with a Wednesday night walkthrough here on Richmond's home for the most high school football in town. The NFL play-by-play, we've got a ton with Westwood One and the Washington Commanders, who lost again. They fell to 3-5 on the season, and all that was good and fun in the first half came crashing down in the second. As the Skins fans around the country watched their team crumble, it was difficult. We'll recap it on the show today. It's a terrible Tuesday. We want to hear from you. Vent. Give us your thoughts. 833-804-0910. If you're like Jeremy and you stayed up to watch 18 innings of playoff baseball, Freddie Freeman lists the Dodgers to a Game 3 win, give us a call. 833-804-0910. But you know how we like to start the show, by catching you up on anything you might have missed around the sports world when we open up the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
This is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
Shohei Ohtani. He reached base 9 times, most in an MLB playoff game. Here is Ohtani up to the plate with the Dodgers holding an early lead.
Comes back in. It's lifted to deep right field. Turns the corner. Goodbye. Ohtani goes deep. And the Dodgers lead Game 3 on a pair of solo home runs, 2-0.
And as this game was typical, back and forth, back and forth, it was the Dodgers up 2-0, and then the Blue Jays power to a 3-2 lead with this Kirk home run.
Breaking ball, drilled to left center field. Páez going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall, and it's gone. Kirk has changed Game 3 with a 3-run shot.
Jimenez sack fly. It's 4-2 Blue Jays. Ohtani up to the plate in the fifth. He doubles to left. It's now a 4-3 game. Freddie Freeman would score Ohtani. We're tied at 4 as we go to the bottom of the seventh, after an RBI single for the Blue Jays to take a 5-4 lead. Ohtani up at the plate again. You can't tell me they're still pitching to Shohei.
Location is the most important thing. Ohtani. Oh, a center cut fastball. Blast one. And ties it. Shohei. 5-5.
We go to extras. Who's going to win this one? Let's take a listen to the bottom of the 10th.
Down the line, towards the corner, it's a fair ball. Schneider on his horse. Hernandez picks it up. Schneider's headed home. Relay from Edmund. Play at the plate. He's out!
Game 3 of the World Series had everything a baseball fan could want in a championship game. It was a marathon on Monday night as the score remained even at 5 all the way until the 18th inning. Yeah, if you're a mathematician, that's 2 baseball games in the bottom of the 18th. Freddie Freeman with the game on the line. Let's take a listen to the call.
In Los Angeles, Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the catch strikes me. Freeman has ended it. It's a repeat hero with the last word and a Game 3 classic.
19 different pitchers took the mound, 47 runners were left on base, and that marathon of a game on Monday that ended just before midnight lasted 6 hours and 39 minutes. Game 4 tonight. Yeah, no days off. Game 4 tonight, 8 p.m. first pitch. Dodgers now have a 2-1 series lead after back-to-back wins. It will be Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Dodgers, Shane Bieber for the Blue Jays. Let's move over to college football on the Sports App. So Brian Kelly was fired at LSU, and details have emerged about a very tense meeting with Brian Kelly and the AD, the athletic director, after the loss. And Brian Kelly met with the athletic director, and things went sideways. Kelly wanted to make sure that there were some changes to his staff, and he suggested that other moves that the AD didn't want. Well, things then escalated. In the end, Kelly was fired. But you know who gets the last laugh? Brian Kelly, who will still be paid over $50 million. Let's move over to the NFL. Ravens, Lamar Jackson expected to return for Thursday Night Football at Miami. For the Vikings, Carson Wentz had season-ending shoulder injury. Adrian Peterson, terrible news, charged with a DWI and unlawful carrying of a weapon. On Monday Night Football, it was the Commanders against the Chiefs, and Washington got an explosive play just before the half as Mariota finds Terry McLaurin. Did he catch it? Oh, yeah, he caught it.
He steps back. He throws up. He's got it open. McLaurin in the end zone. Can he keep his feet in? What's the call? They say it's incomplete.
After reviewing the play, it is a touchdown.
Whoa. Let's go.
Trick or treat. Scary Terry arrives.
What a throw, but more importantly, what a toe tap by Terry on the sideline.
I gotta say, it just felt like the refs were cheating us. I think Terry had 3 catches that were officially ruled incomplete at first. Travis Kelce broke the record, tied the record for Chiefs all-time touchdowns on this catch on a throw from Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes with Pacheco to his right, 3 wide receivers to the left. Use a break here. Worthy moves closer to the line. Mahomes surveying, dancing, moving to his right, throws back to the end zone. Travis Kelce caught. About a yard deep into the end zone, and that's a touchdown, Kansas City.
I feel like I'd feel a lot better today if I went to sleep at the half, 7-7. Chiefs win 28-7. That is your final score. Washington now moves to 3-5, 3 losses in a row. Let's move over to the NBA on the Sports App. OKC Thunder, last year's NBA champions, and this year it just feels like everybody is giving them their best game right now. That's what happens, right? If you are the champion, they're going to come for you. The Thunder moved to 4-0, though, with an impressive win, 101-94 on the Mavericks. It was Chet Holmgren with 18-11, a double-double, and this slam.
Mavericks are running a lot of high pick and rolls.
And Holmgren rises up for some electricity at the rim.
Now, it was Cooper Flagg, the talented first overall pick, who would leave this game with an injury. Let's get to the Jazz game last night against the Phoenix Suns. And Lauri Markkanen scores a career-high 51 points as the Jazz outlast the Suns in overtime, 138-134. Here is the call.
Hand off Walker to Keontae. Here's Markkanen, jumps out for three. That's a big splash. Another triple to Jazz.
Jazz are 2-1. Good start to their season. Let's get to the Denver Nuggets and their battle with Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jamal Murray was the star on display last night. He had 43. Jokic finds Murray on a fast break, and the Nuggets get the win.
McDaniel going at Watson. Blocked by Watson. You mentioned it. Too much iso ball. And there is the ninth assist of the game.
And he would get a triple-double. Nikola Jokic, 25 points, 19 boards, and 10 assists. Nuggets win 127-114. Wizards, who are 1-2 on the season, will host the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are actually healthy and 3-0 to start the season. How long will that last? It will be a great matchup there of a couple of guards, Tyrese Maxey against Bob Carrington for the Washington Wizards. We got a lot to get to on the show today. It is a terrible Tuesday when we want to hear from you Commanders fans. 833-804-0910. We'll bring on David Harrison, who is in Kansas City, to cover the game for Sports Illustrated. It is a JMU game day. If you're a fan of the Dukes, the college football playoffs, that dream is still alive. Well, they got to take care of business today and every game day. Dave Riggert, the play-by-play voice of the Dukes, will join us at 2:30. We'll run around local sports in Richmond with Lane Casadante from CBS 6 at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll crosstalk with Michael Phillips, who is in Kansas City, get his take on that Monday night second-half massacre by the Chiefs when we return. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. This is the new Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Firing, looking for that.
Oh, yeah. Is that Marshawn Lattimore? He picked it off, goes out of bounds at the 7-yard line. He
turned around and stole that one.
Wow. You talk about, hey, we've been waiting on Marshawn Lattimore to make a play, and this is actually absolutely textbook on how you defend a back shoulder fade. He's on top of the receiver, but he also has vision on the quarterback, gets his head around, and makes a great interception.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. I think what's impressive about that interception by Marshawn Lattimore is that Patrick Mahomes said postgame, that's exactly where he wanted to throw the ball. Lattimore just made a really good play. Now, he was not guarding wide receiver one or wide receiver two. I think we found out. Lattimore can still play against wide receiver threes. The guys that he defended when he was at his prime that are wide receiver ones, those guys are out of the league, right? Except for like Mike Evans for the most part. He is not a CB1 or CB2, but he can still defend, I guess, wide receiver threes. Joining us right now, Michael Phillips. We don't have time for a sounder. Let's get right into this. Crosstalk with MP. What's up, man? How are you?
Yeah, no, that was a really impressive interception. Takes me off his back for a second. And part of the promised personnel changes, I think, you know, I was hoping that it would involve him not playing, but I thought they did a nice job of putting him in situations where he could be successful. We saw some plays last night where they had three safeties on the field, right? That's just extra help, extra assistance. You saw the cost of that in the second half when they couldn't get to Mahomes, but it really helped bolster the secondary.
Yeah, let's go through the changes because everybody wanted the coaching staff to make changes. They did, and whether or not they were successful or not.
Yeah, you know, at linebacker, I think there's still probably a little too much Bobby Wagner, but you bring in some of the youth. You bring in some of the energy, you know, the Kane Medranos of the world, the Jordan McGee's of the world. And I'm not going to tell you they were flawless. They weren't flawless. And I think that's why the coaching staff had been so hesitant to make those changes, because they know these guys will make mistakes. And they did make mistakes. They also brought speed. And I think the pros were worth the cons here, Adam, because I think that there were fewer embarrassing moments where guys got beat, missed tackles, outrun. You know, this defense had just looked slow the last few weeks, and I thought they were playing at game speed last night. So I'd score that a good change overall.
So Tyler Owens was playing a decent amount of snaps out there. I didn't like what he brought compared to the other guys. At Luvu at edge rusher, it's not the same in Luvu as last year. Maybe it worked because it was like a blitz play or you didn't know he was coming. When you know Luvu's coming, it's like he has one move. It's the speed rush attack and it doesn't work. I thought half the changes worked, you know?
Yeah, it was a partial win. And, you know, to speak to your point about Owens, right? I mean, that's why he was on the bench, was they saw in practice every week, like, this isn't what we're looking for out there. I think they felt they had no choice, and I think they were correct. And I think they were correct to show it to all of us and to show it to the world that, okay, here are the guys we've got behind that, and here's what you're going to get from them. And I'm prepared to lobby for more of that. I think you're more deflated than me this morning, but I am deflated about this team's long-term chances this year. And so what do you do with a team that's not going to make it to the NFC title game? You see what you've got for the future. You let these guys grow. And so I'm certainly not opposed to letting them continue to grow, even if that means some missteps from time to time. Yeah, Luvu's a fascinating one, Adam. He was really, really good last year. We all saw it with our own eyes. It's indisputable. And he hasn't been that good this year. And I think Sanders still's a little bit of that as well. I think Sanders still's been better than Luvu. But you just get the sense of, like, they were better last year than this year. And that's the head-scratcher is why that regression, because there's not an obvious injury reason here.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I think you made a good point in terms of the season is spiraling out of control, but we're not eliminated yet. But when that point comes, how does Dan Quinn keep this group together? It would be his first time in Washington working with guys that know, hey, there's nothing to play for at the end of the day. That's something to keep an eye on in November and October. I want to get your take on this because I hate this take that's going around, Michael, that last season was a blessing and a curse. No, it wasn't. It's a blessing. It was the best season of my lifetime. That's it. Every season is separate. I hate this take that, oh, it was a curse. No, they were aggressive. How many other teams made two trades? I even think they drafted well. They're not getting the production that we got from last year's stars. That doesn't mean that it was a curse.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean you do anything differently either, I don't think. And, you know, that was something I was talking with Ben Standing about. Even if you, in your crystal ball, know that this year is going to shape up the way this year shapes up, even if you know that back in March, back in January when they're making these trades, I think you still make the trades because this is also about more than just this season. This is about your franchise quarterback of the future, you know, and that is still Jaden Daniels, right? He has unquestionably hit a little bit of a sophomore slump. The injuries are, that's a question mark. But right now, as you talk to me, the future of this team is 10 years of Jaden Daniels playing great quarterback, and hopefully more than that. All of the trades were designed to give him a better chance to win and more weapons and to make sure he knows that everybody loves him here in the front office and is ready for that big contract extension when the day comes and is going to do what it takes to support him. And, you know, that's the Laremy Tunsil deal. They got the best left tackle who was available, right? You know, you can yell all you want, like, go get somebody better. Like, nobody better was available. They got the best left tackle who was available. They drafted who they felt was the best left tackle who was available. And he'll be the left tackle of the future as long as he develops well. And you get Deebo Samuel, a guy who gives him a great weapon. I none of those moves bother me. Like, you go back in time and you say, okay, you know that this year's bad. Would you do that again? Yes, I would still do every single one of those moves again.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to continue to, as people blame Adam Peters, defend him. As people blame Dan Quinn, I'm going to defend him. This is on the players. The guys who overperformed last year are taking a massive step back.
Yeah, and you know, it's we can parse out the blame pie, but certainly when you've got a fourth and seven, Zach Ertz catches it, needs an extra half yard, you need him to get that half yard, right? We can talk about should it have been a different route, should it have been a different play, but that's a play he makes in his NFL career, and he didn't make that play last night.
Do you believe the measurement was correct? Because I think they got things wrong all game long.
I believe the spot was wrong. Like, where they spotted it was short of a first down, but I believe the spot was incorrect. The spot should have been at the first down line. I was confused. One, I thought that was worth challenging, but then two, we had the whole commercial break, and we never really got a better or different look at it.
But it's a turnover. Like, why is that not a reviewable play, right? Aren't all turnovers reviewable?
Weirdly, a fourth down is not a turnover. If you go for it on fourth down, and it is called a turnover on downs, that's the literal name of it, but it does not go down in the scorebook as a turnover and does not get automatically reviewed. The rules are weird. That the whole computer measurement thing that took 2 minutes, that was super weird. I don't know what the NFL is doing, man. I got big-time officiating issues with the NFL, the way it's going right. And they were bad in Dallas, too.
Right.
And you know me, I don't like to talk about the refs after a loss because that's generally not the reason you lose. But they've unquestionably been bad the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it favored the home team quite a lot. I mean, my goodness, was that spot awful on the one that Dan Quinn was forced to challenge, right? And then, or the one that was reviewable, and then the one that...
Two Terry catches,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just like, what are they watching?
And you know, the whole tush-push thing, which is its own thing altogether, with, you know, the Giants force a very obvious fumble. We go to replay because I'm told replay's here to fix that sort of thing, and then it doesn't. In Steelers-Packers, the offsides that wasn't called, where Rodgers thought he had a free play, and then all of a sudden they're punting late in the game.
That was so bad.
That's a game-changingly
bad call.
But
let's get back to our game, like the the Mahomes late hit and then the Quan Martin hit where they called him for unnecessary roughness.
He wrapped up Mahomes in the end zone, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other one, like the Quan Martin one, I think completely changed the game because that's the first drive of the third quarter. That's 3rd and 10 right there, and instead it's a 15-yard penalty. That was the first down is always everything.
And I'll point out one more to you, which I thought was fascinating. The other way, Bobby Wagner pushes Mahomes out of bounds, and it was a very legitimate play, but we've all seen Mahomes get that flag every single time he does that whole, like, I'm flying into the bench. Somebody do something about that. He's a very good actor. But Bobby Wagner pushes him. Bobby Wagner doesn't get flagged. I think that was like Mahomes rules the other way towards the ref. It's like, it's Bobby Wagner. We're not going to flag him. He's a legend. There's clearly an initiative to protect Mahomes. I say that as a Chiefs fan. I watch all the Chiefs games. You know that. Like, clearly he gets the calls. Jordan got the calls when Jordan got the calls. It is in the NFL's best interest that its star player get the calls. I wish he would do less acting because it makes it harder to stomach the ones that are legitimate when you get ones that clearly aren't legitimate.
All right, Michael, lastly here, I'm going to throw this hot take at you that I just was pissed off watching the game last night. All right. And we're going to need to watch the first turnover back here, but you've called this out before. I don't think Terry McLaurin knows the plays. I don't think he knows the offense because he missed training camp, and I'm blaming him partially for the Debo dropped interception because I think Debo turned to tell McLaurin to get in the right spot, and when he turned around, he lost his focus a little bit. Did you get that sense at all?
Yeah, and you know why Terry McLaurin doesn't know the plays? Because he hasn't practiced. He hasn't practiced with this team. Anyway, he did his partial practice this week getting ready for the game, but practice matters, and he missed all of it, the whole training camp and the part after it. And, you know, we've debated many times the causes of that, but you and I are both 100% in alignment that because he missed the practices, he is not as good as he needs to be right now. Whatever the cause of that, the effect is we're not getting the Terry McLaurin we need on some of these plays.
Yeah, and that continued in the fourth quarter. You could say the game was over or not. They threw to Jalen Lane because he was not in on a key third down, right? And then he did not come back into the game. I mean, I think amateur watching the game, you say, this guy absolutely re-injured himself. Prove me wrong.
Yes. No. And he was talking to the trainers on the sideline. So that is absolutely the correct read on that. Was he felt something tweak. He said after the game, he's good. That's what you have to say after you miss that much time after a holdout. I will be curious to see what the next week brings here for Terry McLaurin, because if this is just a thing that's going to linger all season and Jane's going to linger all season, yeah, that's not going to help the feeling of hopelessness.
No. Michael, thanks for joining me today. Hope you make it home safely.
All right, see you in studio tomorrow.
You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
They're going for it. It's a fourth and six.
The alert for a zero blitz by the Chiefs.
Zach Ertz goes in motion. McNichols to the left of Mariota. Fourth and six at the Chiefs 40. Aggressive move here early. They snap it. Chiefs break five. Mariota's got time. Throws into the slot. That is caught by Zach Ertz right at the line to gain. It's going to matter where they mark it.
That's a first down. Let's see this spot.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. That was Bram Weinstein, London Fletcher on the call. The official radio broadcast that can be heard right here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. As we sit here today, Tuesday, October 28th, just after 12:30 p.m., and it is another terrible Tuesday. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, as the Commanders suffer their third defeat in a row. And another loss on national television in prime time. Just everything went wrong in the second half as this franchise continues to move backwards after nearly making it to the mountaintop last season. And I'm pissed off after last night. The second half felt like we showed zero fight. We just laid down and let the Chiefs walk to victory. In the first half, we did not take advantage of the mistakes they made, and we did nothing in the second. An embarrassing loss. But for some reason, I woke up today feeling pretty positive because I already said the season's over. So I'm deep down, I think in the back of my brain, I'm mentally checked out. But I kind of woke up today feeling optimistic because I called for a better performance and we actually got one for the entire game, only giving up 28 points to the Chiefs. You'll take that. Thought we were going to score 27, would have made it a hell of a game. But we did put it together for one half. That first half, we put it together. We looked like a competent defense. We were fast. We had the offense that was moving the football. We just didn't cash in, and that's frustrating. But Terry McLaurin made a sick catch in the end zone, and we went into the break against the best team in the AFC and arguably the best team in football in the last 5 years, 7-7. I mean, there is something positive to take away from that. The second half spiraled out of control just like the entire season has. But we played well for a half. And I'm feeling very positive today that maybe this team can come home and in front of their home crowd in Landover, Maryland, we put it together for a full game. I don't know that we're going to put it together for the full rest of the season, but I was expecting a blowout loss. That's like not really what I thought I saw. In the end, it's a blowout loss, but it took an interesting path to get there where we were absolutely in this game. And I think there were some very positive changes made by Dan Quinn and this coaching staff. The goal for this season was to make the playoffs. It's certainly in jeopardy, but it's not over yet. And while it's not over, I'm going to try to stay positive. Because you know what, Stubb? I can't go harder than I did last week.
It's hard to.
I said the sky is falling. The season's over. This week, I told Michael, feels like the sky has fallen. And we are surviving underground. We're living in this new apocalypse. We have supplies. And we have hope that the rescue is on the way in Jaden Daniels. But we are living in this apocalypse right now. We're not dead. We found shelter underground. We have to find a way to somehow win two of the next three before the bye or we're completely cooked. But it can't get worse than the sky is falling. The sky has fallen. This is where we're at right now. We're surviving, like I said, off beans and water. I don't know what to expect moving forward here, but I am very optimistic about this first half performance. And things changed at the break, and their crowd was awesome, and Andy Reid's unbelievable at making halftime adjustments. But we did put together 30 minutes of decent football, and there was a lot more than I was expecting after giving up 44 to the Dallas Cowboys. Like, Michael made a great point on his show, and I had it in my notes to bring it up, so I'll tell it to you right now. I think that 75% of the league scores a field goal on that final drive of the half. Patrick Mahomes had, 58 seconds? And we forced a punt? That tells me our defense is turning the corner a little bit. Like, that was exactly what we needed. We actually did what I was calling for in terms of eliminating a possession from the Chiefs because we took 5.5 minutes to get the touchdown to Terry. And I'm thinking, all right, we took not enough time. We gave them too much time. But then our defense stepped up and made the play. There's a lot of negativity going around. And that second half was awful. But I'm choosing to look at the positives from that first half as something to at least build on from next week. I don't want to talk about next season yet. I know a lot of the fan base is. I got people tweeting me, mock drafts. Who are we going to take next year? We got a million positions to fix, it feels like. But this season's not over until we are eliminated. And I'm trying to stay optimistic because we are coming home. And as much as we did not deserve to win that game last night, you don't deserve to win when you create two interceptions basically in the first quarter and score 0 points. 0 points, right? But the referees were in favor of the Chiefs, it felt like. The referees were in favor of the Cowboys last week. It's going to be nice to come home, and maybe we'll get some home cooking and some decent calls from the refs. I cannot believe that Dan Quinn had to use a challenge when it was pretty obvious that that was a catch. I'm like, what are you looking at there? Just call it a catch, and they will review it from the booth. Or the Johnny Newton late hit. Or the Quan Martin one. Like, a lot of things went wrong, and we didn't deserve to win this game. But there was a lot more positives than there were negatives. There were. And it's probably hard to hear that because you woke up today and your team's 3-5 and that second half was embarrassing. But to score only 7 points in the first half and be tied with the Kansas City Chiefs is absolutely something to take away as a positive. And I think we got good film on tape. It's hard to look back at a 28-7 loss and say we got good film on tape, but we did. That touchdown to Terry McLaurin was freaking awesome. Now, I hate DeMarcus Mariota. It just feels like he has the worst touch in football. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, the lob pass to McNichols, he was asking for that to be a pick six. He lollipopped that thing up there. But that pass to McLaurin, perfect execution on a play that you absolutely needed to have it on third down, right? And there were a few of those. Another one where he hit McLaurin on the sidelines. McLaurin made some good catches, and Mariota gives his guys an opportunity. I like that about him. He was not great, for sure. And I thought he made a few mistakes in terms of pocket presence, for sure, and knowing when to run and when to throw the ball away. But there were a lot more positives than there were negatives in this one. And I didn't expect to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I expected to give up 35-plus points. I'm feeling pretty good about 28. And we can come home here. And it can't get much worse, right? I have no choice but to be positive and optimistic, I feel like. Because we're one more loss away from the season's over. The sky has fallen. We survived the apocalypse for 1 week, and then they come for us. And we're done. What do you want me to say here? We actually got the changes from the coaching staff. It's like they listened to us, right? I had somebody that was tweeting me during the game. Weren't you and Michael Phillips saying that we should have benched Marshawn Lattimore? Yeah, keep talking. All right, he made one good play. But that was the change that we wanted of him not being on the outside. So, look, we asked for changes. They gave it to us. I'm going to say the same thing that I said last week, and I'm probably sounding like a broken record. Adam Peters was one of the most aggressive general managers this offseason. I'm not blaming him. Find another team that executed two trades for starters on the offensive side of the ball. We got bit by the injury bug. That's not his fault. And the coaching staff has made the changes that we've asked for. The players aren't making plays at all. At all. It's there for them to make the plays. They're not making them. I thought we put our guys in the right positions in this game. We just didn't execute in the second half at all. And, you know, if you're going to blame Dan Quinn for this game, it's what he said. Whatever he said at halftime didn't work. Because the Chiefs came out and they were just a completely different animal. But I saw that game and I said, look, I expected to get our asses kicked. And maybe you could say we got our asses kicked, but we didn't for the first 30 minutes. And so maybe they can use that as a stepping stone to a full 60 minutes of good football when they return home for Sunday night football against the Seahawks. I don't know what else to say. I'm trying to stay positive. There were some things that went well in that game for at least the first 30 minutes. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. We'll give you our flash grades, blame pie, and the coach's conversation coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and four. Worthy goes in motion. Washington breaks for Mahomes' time. Throws over the middle. That one pops up in the air. That's picked off by Bobby Wagner.
Wagner! Second interception of the first half for Washington. The first for Wagner this season. First down, Commanders!
Tips and overthrows.
Tips and overthrows, baby. There we go,
Tips and overthrows, and you just have to be just a little bit lucky sometimes. And this is Patrick Mahomes throwing the football to a wide open Travis Kelce, and he threw it with some heat. Hot, high and hot, and Bobby Wagner right where he needed to be.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So I want to start with flash grades and the blame pie. At 1 p.m., we'll get to my 10 takeaways. We'll go around the NFL on an overreaction Tuesday, as well as more thoughts on this Commanders loss to the Chiefs here on a terrible Tuesday. You can chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, or tweet us at AWOD Radio, at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. We've got Jeremy helping out with the production, and Stubb is on the ones and twos. And I'm going to give the offense a C- for this game. Probably should be worse than that, but I thought they moved the football. They were decent on third down, 7-12. So I'm giving the offense a C-, a defense a C+, and that's really the turnovers, because it's not like they got off the field that much. It wasn't until the Chiefs punted late, but they did force the Chiefs to be pretty bad on third down. Special teams, C-. Jalen Lane really cost us, and I don't know about you guys, but on that one in particular, you have to let the ball bounce. You have to let the ball bounce. They want you to try to make a hard catch and drop it. It's going to bounce, and at that speed, it's going to fly through the back of the end zone. Take the ball to 35, please. So offense, defense, special teams. Blame pie. 25% on the offense, 25% on the defense. Mahomes being really good at football, 25%. And 25% on Dan Quinn. Obviously, he got the fast start he wanted. Where was the second half adjustments? Freaking awful. Another first quarter with 0 points. And I just think Dan Quinn made some mistakes there on those play calls on fourth down. Like, he's the one that's deciding to go for it. Cliff Kingsbury's calling the play. Well, they were not on the same page in terms of what the down and distance is, the situation in this game. And you had an opportunity to take a lead on the road and get your defense an opportunity to play from ahead for the first time in a while. And so I think my thoughts on this game is just like, that's what happens in the NFL when you don't take advantage of your opportunities. Missed opportunities in this league always come back to bite you. In the heart of the moment, I was in on going for it on fourth downs. But looking back on it, at least one of those is stupid. It's not the right move in this game. It always matters. The opponent, the situation, and the quarterback. And that's what it came down to. They might have had success on 83% of fourth downs last year at a historic level. How many of those damn fourth downs were Marcus Mariota? Right? And so Dan Quinn screwed up in my mind. Could have been 13-7 at the half if he took two field goals.
I wonder how much of that is a kicker you don't trust. You barely even know.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
I
Matt
get
Gay's
that.
Out there. Do you kick it? I don't know.
I mean, I didn't trust Matt Gay from
well,
that
right,
range.
I know.
Matt
but
Wright can't be worse.
I mean, he could be.
Fourth and long, stupid to go and throw it behind the line of gain. I mean, Zach Ertz just always gets tackled. His knee goes down. His knee goes down immediately. He doesn't show his age until he gets the ball in his hands. Miss. Give your kicker a chance on this one. Then the fourth and one, like, throwing deep. It's not Jaden Daniels. And that was a shorter field goal. And again, that's just as bad as an interception because you lost the momentum with both of those. One of those, you need to at least kick a field goal in my mind. I get it. Hindsight's always 20/20. But when you look at the way things played out in that first half, first off, you needed that final drive to even make it a game, right? Because if Terry McLaurin is out of bounds, it's 7-3, and we probably don't even score a touchdown in that game, right? But you needed that drive to be points because you had squandered three other opportunities. Three of them. And one of them, I'm glad Michael's on my team here, because as soon as I saw them telling McLaurin you're in the wrong spot, I felt like it was going to be a bad play. And Debo It goes right through his hands, and everyone in the plant's going to blame him for that interception because of that drop right there. But the guys didn't know the play, and that pisses me off. Coaching conversation. We saw the changes that we asked for. Louisville was almost always a blitzer. There was lots of McGee. Tyler Owens and Savage played a lot of snaps. There were still guys wide open. There were still guys that missed tackles. Mahomes still had all day in the pocket. And so, I don't know about you guys, but once again, I see this as a player's issue, not a coaching problem. I blame Dan Quinn on the fourth down, but in terms of like executing the game plan, this is just players not making plays. That's what I'm watching.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a combination of the team just the Chiefs are just a better team than the Commanders are. It's a combination of that and the fact that the Commanders are just too hurt right now. They don't know exactly what they're doing on defense over there, especially.
And we can't put together a full 60 minutes.
Right.
You know, and that's been an issue all season long. We don't really have an identity for this team yet this season.
I think I leave this game with optimism because when I look at it, it feels winnable with Jaden.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if Jaden was out there, he converts those fourth downs. He gives us a lead in the first half.
Yeah.
And it was winnable.
Yeah. The problem is, freaking Adam Schefter's stirring things already
before the game
and saying he's going to miss next Sunday. I mean, did you really have to make that report, Adam? We already see you on TV enough. It's so annoying. Like, he's not really getting information. He's just putting it out there that his whole take on why Jaden would miss next Sunday is look at Lamar. Like, could you get more basic than that with your reporting?
Not every hamstring is the same.
No. Not every player's the same.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, that like I said a couple segments ago, I'm optimistic because the sky was already falling. I saw this coming, and I thought it would be worse than this. I'm actually very pleased with what we saw in the first half. Me and my buddy grabbed a beer and stood outside, did our own little halftime show out in my backyard. And we were like, can you believe this? We actually have a reason to watch the second half. We were shocked. Now, he ended up going home before the start of the fourth quarter. But, like, we had a reason to watch the second half on Monday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not terrible.
No, in Kansas City.
Yeah.
With our backup quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, we all asked for changes defensively, and we got them.
Yeah.
But it didn't really make a difference.
No, it didn't. It didn't at the end of the day. I mean, it worked in the first half, at least a little bit, right? You can hang your hat on that, but then Mahomes just came out in the third quarter, and there's just not a lot you can do about that.
Yeah, another reason I blame the players is just mental mistakes. Like, I know Michael wants to go back and watch it again. I saw it enough times. What the hell is Sam Cosmi doing? What the hell is Sam Cosmi? He's the one that sets the protection there. So the communication was wrong with him and Josh Connerly then. But on a critical third down in the second half, your biggest drive of the game, and an unblitzed or an untouched blitzer gets through when they're only sending four. I mean, that's the story of this season. So is the Deebo Samuel play. The story of this season. The play call is right. Go back and watch the replay. I know I was already talking about McLaurin being in the wrong spot, but they got the blocks lined up. He was going to catch that and get 5 or 6 yards. That's the season in a nutshell. We're not executing the play call at all. And we really struggle to string together back-to-back-to-back good plays. And that's why all of our drives, it seems like, offensively fall short. We fall short of the red zone or fall short of the goal line. Because just something happens to go wrong. A false start, a holding penalty, a dropped pass, right? I mean, am I wrong? Did Ertz have another big drop in that game, or was it Jalen Lane had a big drop? I think Ertz had one early on, though.
I think Ertz had one on. I know Jalen Lane had a drop late in that game that kind of messed with the drive.
Ertz also had one on a slant where the Chiefs blitzed, and if he caught it, he might have taken it 60 yards. But, like, dropped passes, missed tackles, missed assignments, blown coverages. I'm sorry, but that's not a coaching issue. Like, people are so ready to turn on Dan Quinn. So ready to turn on Dan Quinn. This is the players not making plays out there. That's what I watched.
I don't love the late in the fourth quarter punt down 21.
That was waving the right white flag.
Yeah.
I don't love
doing that.
We're already injured enough. I mean, believe me, I didn't love it. I had Deebo in fantasy, and I lost last night because he did nothing in the second half. So I don't understand what that was. That was the white flag. That was, hey, it's 28-7 with a backup quarterback, and we can't do anything.
It feels very un-Quinn to me.
It does, but I don't know. The entire second half was kind of not what Dan... I think Dan Quinn gave up at halftime, actually. Like, I think he was like, we started fast, we created two turnovers, and we did nothing with it.
And I think it's hard...
He blew his halftime speech pregame because he had nothing at the half.
And I think, you know, this defense has been struggling all year, and they finally put in a good half, and the offense doesn't.
I mean, that's why he kept... Yeah. Everybody talks about complimentary football is everything. And the first half of that game was the opposite of complimentary football. Every time the defense did something, the offense stubbed their toe. And once again, the first drive of the game cannot end in a turnover. I mean, just awful. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.